Well, if there is little gospel in the New Testament, happily we have Old Testament for this age. And the gospel, in fact, is, I think, much brighter, much clearer in the pericope, short as it is, that we have, namely Isaiah 44, verses 6 through 8. The context of, since we have only these short verses, it's we have time to look at context, and I think it's important. In wider context, we're dealing with people of God who have been scattered, who have been in exile and dispersion, people who therefore are living marginal lives, people living lives in a crisis of faith, people living lives among those who identify themselves as the victors, as the conquerors, and in the mindset of folks of this day and people like them to this day, victory is won not only by military troops, but also by the gods that lead the military troops. And it presents, therefore, a crisis of faith for children of Israel. And into that context, then, Isaiah speaks, or God speaks to Isaiah. Verses 1 to 4, God gives a promise that he will deliver, he will pour out his spirit, his blessing on your descendants. There's a tantalizing thought in verse 5 that we want to hang on to, namely this. This is reading from the NIV. One will say, I belong to Yahweh. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Still another will write on his hand, Yahweh's. And he will take the name Yisrael. I have a strange thought if they're Israel to begin with. And many of the commentators feel that this is one of those tantalizing thoughts that maybe folks through the dispersion are coming to Israel, and not just that Israel is being lost to the peoples. In any case, we'll skip over 6 to 8 because we're coming back to that. Verses 9 through 20 kind of describe the emptiness of the idol. An idol which represents the various gods among whom the Israelites are living. And then verses 21 to 28, the rest of the chapter, filled again with gospel promise of God's deliverance and God's restoration. And in the middle of that, and really foundational to that, then stands our pericope for today, verses 6 through 8. In terms of general content of those verses, verse 6, God identifies himself. And look at all of the different identifiers that are there. God calls himself King of Israel, Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts, First, Last, God. My goodness, that's six different identifiers of who Yahweh is. God is leaving no doubt about who's speaking here. And verse 7 picks up something that occurs in this section of Isaiah a good bit, namely a challenge, almost like in a courtroom or a confrontational setting, a challenge to anyone else out there who claims to be a rival to Yahweh, a God worthy of people's worship or fear. And then in verse 8, words directed again to Israel, calling them to faith, in reaffirming God's commitment to them. Let's look at the Hebrew. Verse 6. Ko amar Adonai, normal prophetic messenger formula. Thus says Yahweh. It's Isaiah's voice, but it's Yahweh's word. Melech Israel, King of Israel, will go low. Goel is the participial form of the verb ga'al, which is to redeem. And it can be translated here as redeemer. It carries an awful lot of theological baggage when we do that. The more nickel and dime meaning would be something like God the Avenger or God the Vindicator. God, one who will not leave his children unattended or unsaved. And it has that sense when you use the word Redeemer. It's in Isaiah that God identifies himself as Redeemer a lot. Yahweh Tzevaoth, common all through Scripture, God of hosts, someone has translated as General Yahweh, or Yahweh of all of the powers and forces out there. Beyond that, he says, Ani Rishon, I am the beginning, Wa'ani Acharon, and I am the end. Beginning not necessarily in the sense of the ultimate absolute origin of everything, but that beyond which there you can't get. It just goes back, no matter how far you look, God is there. In words of Frederick Buchner, you can't think of a time when God wasn't there, because no matter what's around, God was there before it came. We can't get back that far, nor can we get that far in the other direction either. God is here for the long haul, and the Hebrew idiom is, when you have those two extremes pegged, that is also inclusive of everything in the middle. Beginning, end, and that whole package. I am beginning and end. New Testament makes that Alpha and Omega, right? Same logic and the same mindset there. And Umibal Adai, aside from, is what that long word means there. Other than, aside from me, Ein Elohim, there is no God. God is in the face of all of those other powers that Israelites feel have impinged on the people of God, have carted them off, have destroyed Jerusalem, and all of those things. In the face of all of that, God is making this claim, but I am the only God. Then in verse 7, God is no longer speaking so much to Israel as to the gods, to those presumers out there. U mi kamoni, who is like me? It's an interesting short little phrase there, almost a creedal thing, as that appears in the Old Testament. We tend to talk about being godlike as a good thing. In the Old Testament, there is no such thing as being godlike. That is presumptuous in the extreme. There is no one like me. The only times that occurs are when the serpent tempts Eve and Adam and says, you go ahead and eat that fruit, because then you can be like God. And God throws that also in Job's face, and he is getting a little presumptuous over against Yahweh. That is not a possible thing. Who out there is like me? Anybody sitting in this room named Michael? Of course.
Who is like God?
Who
is like God?
Who is like God? Mikael, a confession of faith. You lucky guy. Yeah. Gorgeous. Who out there is like me? Yigra, let him speak up. Okay? And it goes on. Wayagidecha, from Nagav, Hifil. And let him proclaim it, pronounce it. You've got a Hifil imperfect of the verb there, third person masculine singular. Interestingly, with a feminine singular suffix, let him pronounce, proclaim it. And it is kind of a characteristic of Hebrew that when you are referring to something kind of indeterminate and therefore a little bit abstract, the feminine is often used. Here, the it would be the fact that I'm like God. So the feminine pronoun is referring to that. Let that one, Nagav, proclaim it. Wa'arekeha li. And let that one make his case. Arak. can be used in a forensic or a confrontational adversarial context, like even a military context, to lay plans or to make your legal case. Let him state his case. Okay, it's a challenge out there. If for those who are interested, you've got that same thing going on in chapter 40, verses 12 to 26, in chapter 41, 12, 17 to 29, chapter 43, 9 to 13. This is one of the ways of laying a foundation for a call to faith or renewed trust on the part of the Israelites who are scattered and intimidated. And we come to the second line in verse 7, and that's a tough one. The translations most commonly used, namely the New Revised Standard Version, the NIV, and the ESV, all do this very differently. What we have literally here is misumi from seem, from my establishing, that would be an infinitive construct, am olam, an eternal people, probably better translated an ancient people, and under that you have an afnak, which would indicate generally that's the end of this thought unit here. Strangely though, the way the scripture is laid out here, you've got the next word kind of aligned with that section there, right? And so that's where some of the translations go differently. As it stands, the ESV is most literal in the translation. Let that one proclaim it. Let him lay out his case before me. From my establishing the ancient people, from the time that I elected Israel to the present time, let that person interpret all of the deeds that Israel has encountered. Wa'oth the oath, participle from atha to come, and it can in this sense be translated happen. The things that have come, the things that have come about, the things that have happened. Again, you have a feminine here because you're dealing with kind of a nondescript set of events. And what will come, what will happen. Tav'ona, a feminine, once again, infinitive from bo. The things that will come, let them, before it's been a singular, here it's a plural, let them proclaim what has happened. ESV, NIV are pretty similar to what they have here. It's just in the connection of, in the place of that afnak. If you look at the RSV, Revised Standard Version, what it has is what is offered in the footnotes to verse 7, B. You see it reads, perhaps, and then it's got an entirely different reading. Hu hishmia. Hifil from Shama, who will proclaim me olam, from eternity, the things that have happened. Certainly fits the parallel set of challenge here. There's no textual evidence, unfortunately, and it involves some reshuffling and reassigning of consonants and verbs. And back to verse 8, things read much more clearly. Do not, we have a negative command here. Tifchadu, do not be terrified, and do not fear. This word is footnoted, you see, also, and the reason is because, as it stands, the root is yarach, yod, resh, hey, which otherwise is unattested anywhere in the Old Testament. And the suggestion is made, and the footnote does it, and the early versions do it too. They take it from yare, fear, which is close. It's the difference between a hay and an olive here. And if in terms of hearing and copying, you can see where maybe that didn't make a transference. The meaning is pretty clear. Do not be terrified and do not fear. My sense is that what to Paul is that overpowering invitation to have faith, to trust. Now, that word doesn't appear quite as often in the Old Testament. The more earthy form of that is to encourage Israel in the face of what look like pretty terrifying circumstances, whether it's battle or whether it's exile or whatever it is, don't be afraid. Often is followed by, I will be with you. That's kind of the Old Testament version of the call to faith, and that's what we have here. Halome Oz, have not from way back. Oz literally means then, but it's often used, like in Proverbs 8, for the long haul, kind of parallel to Olam. Hishmatika, have I not made you to hear? Have I not pronounced to you? Wahigavti, and proclaimed, namely, all of the things that were to happen. Wataidai, now you are my witnesses. Haeshaloach mebaladai, is there a God other than me? Eloah is a word much more seldom used in Scripture. Interestingly, it's used 50-some times. 40 of them used in the book of Job. Otherwise, it just is not so common. It's a variant of Elohim, clearly. Is there a God beside me? Wa'ein tor, there is no rock. Baal yadati, I don't know of. And you have to supply one. I don't know of one. The call to faith is built upon the fact that Yahweh is not just the Lord of creation, He's the Lord of history. He is the Lord who's behind the exile, He's the Lord who's behind the dispersion, who's using that for Yahweh's own purpose. And it's not the end of the story. Yahweh will, as the preceding and the posterior context show, Yahweh's not done yet. Yahweh will lead you. Have faith. Don't lose faith to the other gods. There is no other God. Yahweh is Lord of all. Okay. Good match with the epistle, particularly, where Paul talks about sufferings and groaning and frustration and bondage and decay and hope, and therefore the promise of the Spirit. Good match with this. Gospel reading, as Dr. Kloa spelled it out, similar. A lot that we don't know, but the call is to be firm and to be steadfast because God is trustworthy. You have any questions on the Hebrew or anything?
Aloah?
Yeah.
Now, so that's like the singular form of God?
No, well, okay. It is a singular, but it's not necessarily the singular of Elohim.
Is there any significance? Like, what was the significance of that as opposed to like Elohim or...
I don't think there's any difference between those two. As it's used in the book of Job, I think the difference is between Job and the friends, both of them, their use of Eloah, which is translated often in, Eloah, which is parallel to Shaddai, translated Almighty, over against Yahweh. who eventually appears. Job and the friends are talking about that God of power. It's the God of mercy who comes back. But that variant is not here. Elohim, Eloah, not much difference.
That's it.
Yeah. Anything else? Okay. Thank you. And thanks to all who are listening from far away. Blessings to you.